Right now, we're going to open up God's Word, so please do find it. If you don't have one, do raise your hand. It's a great thing. People will bring you one. It's this kind of generosity mentality, and I often say that if you definitely don't have a Bible, that you can ask to keep it, but we do, if you do have one, ask you to give it back. And we're actually in a series where we're looking at, do you remember our theological toolkit? And we're thinking, okay, problems and challenges and questions. How do we bring to bear great truths of God's word and apply them to our situations in our lives? And we've been looking for 2 weeks, a while back, at the Father. And last week we were looking at the Son, the second person of the Trinity. And we're going to spend another week asking this question. Jesus, do we still need missionaries? Do we still need missionaries? So let's turn to 1 John 4, and we're going to focus on one verse, verse 9. Verse 9 says, page 1227 in those Bibles you just received. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And the verse we read at communion, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Just so we keep getting the context, let me just read on one more paragraph. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Let's pause there and maybe just go back to verse 9 and read that one verse again. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us through his word as we continue to look at it together. Jesus, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come upon us all. Help me. Help all of us to see wonderful things in your word, to see Jesus. And as we see him, help us know our part, our response. For I ask in Jesus' name, amen. A man named Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So if you've given generously, if you've even give kind of almost like you think, man, was I foolish to do that? Jim Elliot would say, you've not been a fool. You couldn't have kept it in this world. And what you gain as we give to the Lord is far, far beyond that. And I found the words of people like Jim Elliot. I read when I was younger a book called Shadow of the Almighty, which his wife wrote. You see, Jim Elliot, and I think we've got a picture of him and some other sort of famous missionaries up on the screen. Jim, and here we go. That's the one, Maria. This is David Livingstone. Anyone heard of him? Went into, you know, the regions of Africa. No one had had been there with the gospel before. And David Livingstone was actually a great man of faith. And he went taking the gospel to places. There's Jim Elliot over on the right in the 1940s and 50s. God really touched this man. He went to the jungles of Ecuador. Can I just find out who's ever read the story of My Utmost, of Shadow of the Almighty? Anyone? Just let me see. I sometimes assume like everyone's read this because this is an amazing book. I read this when I was younger. Can I just say, if you're a young person, if you're under 30, does that count as young person? Then I'm old. Oh, shame, a few people are saying. This will really challenge you. So do get it. Maybe, Dave, let's get that one on the book review for the thing. Jim was a guy who got a calling to go to Ecuador, the jungles of Ecuador. Again, no one had ever been there with the gospel. And they went and landed, this group that had been training and learning language. They landed on the beach to share the gospel with them. And actually, the guys came out of the jungle, not to embrace the gospel, but actually, they killed them straight away, speared them to death. And the stories of people like that who were willing to give up their lives. And you know what's amazing about this story is then his wife went to the same people to go and tell them the gospel. Giving of their lives. David Livingstone. This lady here, Amy Carmichael. Again, many of you know she's one of my heroes. Giving of her lives to go and help the poor in India. Rescuing young children from enshrine prostitution and taking them and ending up with a home that was basically, she was looking after about 150 kids and training them, and many of them became great leaders in the church in India. Or this guy here, William Carey, you know what he said? He said, expect great things for God and attempt great things for God. And I wonder, as you listen about the lives of these people, maybe like me, you get stirred and you think, boy, we need to attempt great things for God, because God is worth it. He's wonderful. He's magnificent. But one of the things with those people is that they all lived kind of over 50 years ago. A lot's changed. Some of them lived a lot longer than that. A lot's changed in our world in 50 years. In fact, in those days, all of those were from the West, and they went to many of these parts, which maybe even sometimes no one had ever traveled to before. But nowadays, we live in a globalized world. You know, people are traveling all over the places. And in those days, the church was really strong in the UK and in the US. And nowadays, most Christians live in Africa and in India and China and South America and Korea, South Korea. That's where, you know, Christians are far stronger in those places. So we live in changing times. Missionaries don't, these guys got on boats and travel down canoes, but often, you know, missionaries now, they'll get on, EasyJet. Isn't that right, Rita? EasyJet with their laptop, and they'll head off. And, you know, so what is this world we now live in? And here's the question. Do we still need missionaries? Do we still need missionaries? Well, these guys are great, inspiring role models. But really, we're not primarily called to be like David Livingstone, first and foremost, or like Jim Elliot, or like Amy Carmichael, or like William Carey. There is one that, as a Christian, I know I'm meant to follow. Do you know who that is? Jesus Christ. And so we're going to, as it were, now pick up our toolkit, and we're going to think, what is it about Jesus? What is it about who Jesus is that's going to help us think, do we still need missionaries? And we're going to look, and we're going to see this about Jesus this morning. As we look in 1 John 4 and verse 9, we're going to see that Jesus was a missionary. We have a missionary God. That's our first point, because look down here at this verse. In 1 John 4, 9, it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world. This is really vital bit of theology. In fact, it's so important to get this in our right, in our thinking, that in 1 John 4, verse 2, look down there with me, the Apostle John has said this. He says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. It's that important to really believe that Jesus came fully God and yet came fully man. As it were, we've been having the bread and the wine. We sometimes talk about the flesh and the blood, or the body and the blood of Jesus. He actually took on human form. He became a man. God sent his Son into the world. Another theological term, let me use it and then describe a bit what it is. You might even be familiar with it from other uses. It's called the incarnation. The incarnation is a word, I think we've got it up on the screen as well. In, and then you might know carne, like the Latin for carnal or the flesh. Is that in the body? Is that right? I'm looking at my wife who's a Latin expert. Is that right? Yeah, there we go. Getting a nod. In incarnation. He became in the body. He dwelt amongst bodily. And, you know, this is a phrase which you might have heard of people who actually go and they're right in amongst people. Like these guys were trying to do and go and actually be amongst missionaries like Hudson Taylor went to China and was dwelling right there in amongst God's people. Incarnation is a word that's really important as we think about missions. And Jesus was incarnational in his approach as he came into the world. He was sent into the world from heaven. The prince left the palace and came into the messy, messed up world, all the paupers. Many of you have been here as I can do it even now, isn't it? You remember those candlelight services where I say Jesus left the throne and came down in amongst people. And he, right, you know, we sometimes think he just comes in. That's incarnational. Comes right in. And it's not just here. This is a lovely bunch of people. Hello, Debs. Hi there. Good to see you. And yet, Jesus, when he comes right amongst people, it's messy. It's kind of, it's poor. It's dirty. Do you know the incarnation began? Do you know where it began? In the womb of a teenager. Jesus came into the womb of a teenager. Then there was childbirth. I don't know if you've ever known anything about childbirth. It's messy. Then there was a manger. Looks nice on the Christmas cards. It was a feeding trough for animals. Then there was a stable, and then there was the flight to Egypt, and then there was living as a refugee, and then there was going to a little town in Nazareth and becoming a carpenter in the middle of nowhere. This is the incarnation. This is so important, you see, because it speaks volumes about God. It says that our God is not remote. You're not a remote God. See, in Islam, God is perceived as being remote. He's so holy and great, and God is holy and great. But in Islam, that God that is described in Islam would never come into our world. Would never kind of dare to be kind of contaminated by mess and by sin. And yet Jesus, God himself, comes into our world. He is not remote God. He is a missionary God who's incarnated in our world. Speaks volumes about God, but the incarnation also speaks volumes about his love. Look down at 1 John 4 verse 9 again. It says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is an amazing picture of the love of God that he showered upon us in sending his son. It speaks of sacrificial love. His one and only son. It's the same verse of same word from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It was so precious and he sacrificed it. Do you know that you are deeply loved this morning by God who would sacrifice his son by sending him into the world and sending him to a cross, as verse 10 says. So it speaks volumes of God's love, and it speaks volumes not just of the sacrifice of this love, but the purpose of the love. Do you know why God sent his son? It's there at the end of the verse, isn't it? Into the world that we might live through him. That we might live through him. This is God's love displayed so that you and I might have life, abundant life, eternal life. Do you know that life that comes through Jesus? The life that is in the Son. So, don't look for life in money. That's what many do. Don't look for life in more food or drink or in sex or in getting entertained better. Look for life in Jesus, because that is where life is. He is the one who's come into the world to give us life. And this is the truth about Jesus. This is the facts about Jesus. And you might be thinking, well, David, how does that help us know? Do we still need missionaries? Well, here's the thing. The Father sent the Son, and then the Son sends us. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, I think we've got a couple of scriptures up here on the screen, John 17, verse 18, where Jesus says this. Jesus prayed in his prayers, you sent me into the world, say this with me, I have sent them into the world. And what about this one? John 20, 21, again, Jesus said to them, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So what happens is that we have a missionary God, the Father sends the Son, but then we also have, this is second point, a missionary church. A missionary church, because Jesus sends us. Not only does he command us, go, he's sending us, but also what he does is he says, you are in me. He says, when we believe in him, we become in Christ. So where we go, Christ goes. And in that way, he is still going into the world as you and I go with him. So do we still need missionaries? Absolutely. Absolutely, we still need missionaries. And in fact, I think sometimes we've done this. We've got a little list here. We've got it. We've kind of thought, we've got missionaries, ministers, nurse, teachers, you know, these kinds of people are really super spiritual. And then there's, you know, engineers, car salesmen, sorry, Sean, estate agents, maybe just above arms dealer or something like that. But, you know, we kind of sometimes do have a mental list like that. But we've learned, haven't we, church, that actually, that really we believe in every member minister. So really it's not, these things all kind of come under minister. So if you've got like, there's a next list, is a much more accurate list. It's not really that one. It's just missionary and minister. There's, you know, all of us. And then there's the kind of really spiritual missionaries. Is that right? No. It's not just every member minister. It's every member missionary as well. You know, actually, let's do away with those two. Let's just call us Christians. Because what I think a missionary is, as I've looked around, as I've read these books, and as I read the scriptures, missionaries are people who love Jesus. Missionaries are people who love to tell others about Jesus that they may have life. And missionaries are people who are willing to make sacrifices for that. That's what I read. That's what I see. That's what I want to be. That's what I see in the scriptures a Christian is. So we need missionaries still, and we need missionaries in Brighton. In fact, I remember sitting in a cafe just down here saying, God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? It was about 2-3 years ago. I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere, anything, anytime, Lord. And he said, it's here, David. I want you in Brighton and Hove. That doesn't mean losing my heart for the world. I think all Christians should have a heart for the rest of the world. But God's called many of you here. Many even from different places, countries. Great, we need missionaries here in Brighton and Hove. We need to be missionaries here in Brighton and Hove, all of us. And in fact, one of the things we've recognized as we try and disciple people in this church is that we want to disciple them, not just by doing things like this when we come together and pray and worship and open God's word. That's important. But disciple one another by going out, by taking the gospel. And so we've recognized that our short-term mission trips, whether in Wales or even in here in Brighton and Hove or overseas, these are part of our discipleship of one another. And so we want everyone in the life of the church to get involved. And one of the most easy kind of missions is right here on our doorstep, mission trips. And this is something that is to trigger us to be missionary is better every day of our lives. So I want you to watch this little short DVD about Hope 09 that some folks have put together. I hope it will just inspire you to go on a little kind of short little training course about being a missionary here in Brighton and Hove. That's what this is basically for. Many have done this last year, but here we go. Here's a little video clip.
Last year, churches from all over the UK demonstrated the love of Jesus to their communities as a part of a project called Hope 08. As a part of this project, we work with our local community in Brighton and Hove by using our gifts and talents to bring hope to our friends, families and community. We help to paint a community centre and a school, tidy up some gardens and tell people about the gospel all throughout the week. Hope 08 wasn't just an isolated event. In fact, it was a trigger to do more work with our churches and our community. We want to continue to show the love to our community in a practical way and continue to give hope to these people.
and I think it really struck me how much need there is in Brighton and Hove and how much of a difference we can make just by giving up a bit of time.
The best way we can do that is to work together with other local churches to help transform our community. In Hope 08 we work with other churches like Oasis Christian Fellowship. We'll be continuing to build on these partnerships this year.
It's a really good way to get to know other people in the church by working alongside them.
Hope 2009 gives us a chance to revisit some of the projects we helped last year. We'll be working at Summerhill School, Wavertree House, Lambsworth Place and Hangleton Community Centre. Last year we ran a choir from scratch where people could learn a full song in an evening and then perform it.
Yeah, Hope 09 we're running another choir from scratch. I think it's hopefully going to be bigger and better.
Hope 09 will be running between the 19th and 25th of July with lots of different opportunities to get involved. Last year we gave over 1,000 hours to help our community. But this year we want to go even further by committing 1,500 hours of our time in service.
The amount of people who said yes they could help out and help plan things and organise things and just turn up on the day and come along to it was blessed me quite a lot, I think.
You can get involved in lots of different ways, using your God-given gifts and talents. There'll be painting, gardening, praying, children's work, door-to-door work, and many other ways to get involved.
The reason I'm excited about Hope 09 is because it's about the good news of Jesus being taken to our community. So often the church is about something we do in a building. Well, this week reminds us that church is all about the people and that as a people we are called to reach others. We believe as a church that people matter to God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." So during this week, we will seek to tell people about the good news of Jesus. And we will show them with our actions and our service that this good news transforms lives. So please, get involved.
Please visit our website at www.hrbc.org.uk for more information.
Thanks to the team that put that together. And I tell you what, that's just a start. Because I'm assuming we're all going to be involved in that. But what about those people who we're not going to get to their gardens or their school? What about those people in your workplaces and your colleges that we don't necessarily have time to go to? What about those people who know you, but they know no other Christians? Let's be incarnational. Let's be those who walk across the room. You know, it's as simple as that in many ways. Someone's just spotting some need or some person thing. I walk towards them. That's what being a missionary is like. And you know, when you're doing that, when you're walking across a room, really it's only a matter of degrees. Is it a room or is it a city? Or is it a nation? Or is it a continent? It's really, that's only a matter of degrees. The key thing is, are you moving? Are you moving towards people? Are you willing to go and be amongst, be incarnational around those who don't know Christ? And here's the reason why I want you to get involved in Hope 09, why I want you to be missionaries in Brighton and Hove, because we still need missionaries in Brighton and Hove and in the nations. We still need people who are going to go and take the gospel. You know, who's going to, have we got this on the screen here? Who's going to go keep standing with this guy? We support some of the work he does, doing football clubs, but this guy's doing amazing work. He's a missionary. And this guy down the bottom, you know, who's going to keep going and supporting him? Andy Pitt in Wales. He's a missionary. Who's going to support these guys and what they're trying to do in France? And it's great to have Rita here. And lovely hat, Rita. Who's going to go? Do you know my soap illustration from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7? You know, when it says in the Greek, the love of Christ constrains or compels. Which is it? Kind of constrains or compels? Well, in the Greek, the word is seneke. And a Greek man, if he was showering, you know, he'd get it soap. And if he squeezed it, it was senekeed. It was constrained by love, but compelled by love. And you and I are meant to be, as Christians, constrained by the love of God, but shut out by the love of God. And as we go out, the first place we will go to is Brighton and Hove, because we're all here. So go into Brighton and Hove, and if God propels you further than that, amen, because needy places. There's still people who need to get on canoe boats and go down the Amazon. There's still people who need to go by foot or by camel into places where there are no roads to take the gospel. There's still people who need to take 2 years out of their life to learn a language deeply so that they can communicate it. There's still a need for such people. Will you be such a person? Well, I tell you what, if you're not doing it here first, you won't be. If you're not willing to look not to your own strength, but to this one who's loved you so much that he came for you. If you're not in Christ fully and surrendered to him fully, you're not going to be that kind of person. And one of the things I love about reading these stories of kind of, if you like, missionary heroes in inverted commas, is that their lives are just, they're just saying, here I am, Jesus. And you know, we've got people in our church who've learned, as they've surrendered their lives and even gone into missions, God's brought them back. And we're going to hear tonight from Jean Murray. Jean's going to tell her story of how God called her to be a missionary in Malawi. I don't know if you're feeling a call to Malawi or not, but I'm saying, church, that you're called to be missionaries here in Brighton and Hove at the very least. So come and hear her story and hear what it is to feel God say, I need you, Jean. To hear God say, it's not about lukewarmness, it's about total commitment. That's what being a Christian is. Total commitment. Come, offer your lives. I've had in my head this song since yesterday. You know, Your Majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Thank you for giving generously today. Maybe still need to give today. Thank you. God would have us give our finances, but God would have us give our lives. Here in Brighton and Hove, we need people who will pour out their lives in their work. Missionaries nowadays, they're engineers. You know, they're businessmen. They have to be in a lot of these places around the world, but they have to be here too. Teachers, nurses. Use those gifts and skills God's given you, those places, their next work, and be incarnational. You know, I've been kind of watching the time here, and do you ever hear the alarm clock in the morning? Mine goes off. It's often, we have this deal, Laura and I, that she'll do the nights with the kids and I'll do the mornings. So it's often me getting up in the morning. So I get up. And maybe you hear the alarm clock in the morning sometimes for you, and it's not for you, it's for someone else. Maybe you hear that and you think it's for me. So I stop. You can go home and have your lunch. But as I heard the alarm clock this morning, I thought, you know what? We can so often think that a call to missions is someone else. The people who are outdoorsy types, thrill junkies. The call to missions is a wake-up call for every believer in this room. Every heart without Christ, my dad says, is a mission field. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. Should I say that again? Every heart without Christ is a mission field. Every heart with Christ is a mission field. So wake up, church. The alarm's gone off. We're called. We're sent. Senecade. To be God's people into the world just like he was. Motivated by love just like he was. That others might have life. So as we end, I want you to look at Jesus. I want you to think, is he worth it? Is he worth you giving the rest of your lives, whatever you do, for him as his missionary? I want you to think, am I ready to walk out these doors as a missionary? If you're a member, I'm saying every member missionary. So that's kind of where we're going as a church. If you're not and you're a visitor and you're maybe thinking, I want to get more involved, this is what it's going to mean to be part of Holland Road. It's going to mean to live like a missionary. Yes, to make sacrifices. Yes, to do what it takes to reach this city for him. And I'm not going to call for individual responses today, because my longing is that we will all respond. My longing is that we'll realize this isn't a call just for a few. This is a call for us all. And if we are to do that, if we are to live like missionaries, if we are to live like the Apostle Paul or like these guys who say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, then we're going to need verse 16, and this is where I want to end. Look at verse 16 in your Bibles. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. That is why you'll be able to give generously today and in the days ahead. That's why you'll be able to pour out your life and live sacrificially and think and reorganize your diary and your thinking in terms of how can I make time to reach out? How can I be more there with the people who don't know Christ? How can I go to the places in Brighton that no one's going with the gospel? How can I go to places in the world where no one's going with the gospel? Well, you're going to be able to do that if you know and rely on the love God has for us. And if you see his love displayed in the cross, yes, but displayed in his sending his son, Jesus Christ, to be incarnational in the world. That is our call. So, church, know God's love, but rely on it. And I tell you what, if you're not needing to rely on it, if you're relying on your savings, if you're relying on the fact that you've got a good job at the moment, if you're relying on the fact that everything's okay in your family and your health, and if it stays that way, you'll be okay. You're probably not out there enough for God. Because when we're out there seeking to win people for him, we got to rely on his love. We got to know he's with us, and he is. So let's pray, because the alarm's gone off, and it was for me and for you. And let's bow our heads and hold our hands out, as it were, before us. And this time, we're not receiving, we're offering. So please, I'd love it. Just no one's going to know except you and God. Maybe this is your chance, even maybe for the first time, to offer your life to God. And just come and say these words with me. You can say them in your heart. Jesus, thank you for all you've done for me. I receive your life. I receive your spirit. And I offer my life, Jesus, to be sent by you to Brighton and Hove, into wherever you may call. Anywhere, anytime, anything. Here I am, Lord. Send me. So God, go with us as we go on this missionary adventure into the rest of today and tomorrow. May we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the name above all names, the name high over all. Amen.